Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Oil Spills Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Ellingson, and with me today is hockey writer Derek Van Deest of the Edmonton Journal and the Edmonton Sun. Welcome to the dog days of August. I mean, the dog days for hockey news, that's for sure. Although there's always something that's going on. I mean, I just can't figure out Jesse Puljujärvi and where he stands. I mean, I guess we now know where Jesse himself stands. Jesse Puljujärvi's in Finland. He's training. And he comes out and says, you know, in Finnish, to a Finnish language, I don't know if it was a newspaper or media outlet, but essentially that he does not want to return to Edmonton next year. I mean, we heard this months ago.
Yeah.
Via his agent, who said essentially the same thing. It was the same line where, you know, he doesn't want to play in Edmonton anymore. He wants to go to a different NHL team to try to become, well, of course, every player wants to become the player they're supposed to be or whatever. But in the recent past, you know, in the off season, his agent had essentially backtracked some of that, softened the edges of Puljujärvi's ask. And, you know, especially with Edmonton bringing in a new GM and Ken Holland, new head coach and Dave Tippett, clearly there are changes happening in the organization. We've seen changes. Those are two pretty big ones, coach and GM, never mind personnel change. But, you know, the thinking would be, well, you know what? The Oilers aren't going to give you away. They're not going to trade you for seventh round pick, or they're not ready to wash their hands of them just yet.
Yeah.
So why not take a chance? If you're Jesse Puljujärvi, sign a 1-year contract or something reasonable that both sides can live with.
Yeah.
But I guess he is entering his fourth NHL season, and this is, you know, shades of Neil Yakupov, same sort of thing.
Well, yeah, and the situation is, well, it came down to Joni Niederman, a Finnish journalist that works here in Edmonton, really good guy. He tweeted this out the other day. He said, Jesse Puljujärvi tonight to Kevala newspaper at a charity game in Oulu. I want to start with some other team. Playing in North America is still my goal. I want to stay in Oulu until I have a contract. I will find a place to play somewhere. So it seems like Edmonton's not an option for him next season. And I know Jesse Puljujärvi is taking a lot of heat right now about not wanting to come in and play Edmonton, but I think the Oilers have to take some responsibility in completely botching his development. And I think this is something that the Oilers have done in the past and something that players have complained for about in the past. I know Neil Yakupov was a situation where people felt that the Oilers didn't handle him properly or didn't develop him properly or didn't give him enough opportunity or whatever it was, and it didn't work out. And now Neil Yakupov is back in the KHL. With Puljujärvi, it was interesting because I thought the moment they drafted him, the moment Columbus passed on him, he was supposed to be the number 3 overall pick, hands down. And Columbus passed on him. And I thought that was a red flag right there. I think someone in the Oilers organization should have put in a phone call to someone that spoke Finnish and said, I need you to talk to this kid. Because from my understanding, they really didn't interview him because they thought there was no way he was going to be around at 4. And they were tripping over themselves getting up to the stage selecting this kid because he was very talented. He was a talented junior who did very well at the World Juniors, and he had a lot of skill, and he's got a ton of skill. He's big, he's strong, he can skate, he can shoot the puck. But upstairs, it doesn't seem to register when it comes to playing systems or going in certain places or playing a position. And when you're bigger and stronger and faster than everyone growing up, coming through the systems, that other stuff doesn't matter until you get to the NHL. And I think right now that is the biggest issue with Jesse Puljujärvi. And he's grown frustrated with getting sent down, bringing Brabak up, getting sent down, not getting played in certain situations. And I think it's just a matter of time. He says, you know what? I don't want to go with Edmonton. I know they have a new regime. I know they have a new coach and a new GM. But are things really going to change for Jesse Puljujärvi? Did things really change for Neil Yakupov, despite the number of coaches that were brought in here? And so, and now the Oilers say, well, they have absolutely no trade value in this player. They can't get anything for him. So they want to bring him back into the fold. And it's going to be an interesting situation. And I think Puljujärvi has told his agent, I'm not going back to Edmonton. And I do think that's coming from the player. And a lot of people are saying, well, you know, the agent's pulling the strings here. No, I think Jesse went to his agent and said, I'm not going back to Edmonton. You figure it out. And that's what's happening right here.
I agree. It's pretty clear that Puljujärvi came out and said that on his own. And that's all well and fine. The difference between Jesse Puljujärvi and Neil Yakupov, however, is Jesse's had two fairly well-regarded, if not highly regarded, head coaches to guide him. You've got Todd McClellan, who I understand put in a fair bit of time trying to develop Puljujärvi. You know, obviously he was head coach here for 3.5 seasons. Ken Hitchcock came in, because when Ken Hitchcock took over from McClellan in late November, they had just sent Puljujärvi down to the AHL. He was there for, what, 4 games or so. Full stop, back up he comes. Ken Hitchcock really, really wanted to work with Jesse Puljujärvi because he figured he could bring the player everybody wanted Jesse Puljujärvi to be out. Obviously, that didn't happen. So here we are, another coach. I don't know. Well, Dave Tippett is, you know, just as well-regarded as Todd McClellan is. Ken Hitchcock is the number two winningest coach of all time. If it's not going to be one of these guys, who the heck's it going to be? I mean, who knows, right? There's coaches of all different experience levels and calibers and blah, blah, blah in the NHL and any level of hockey. Who knows what would click with Jesse Puljujärvi and what wouldn't? What kind of a coach would coax the best out of him? You could say that about any player, but the players don't get to choose who drafts them. Sometimes players don't even get to play where they want to play. And not everybody can play in their dream city. Sometimes you just have to go out there and get a job. You know, not everybody wants to come to Edmonton to play. I understand why. Most people, and there's only a million people living here. The whole hometown thing, sure, that might be a reason why somebody wants to come play. But if you're from Toronto, if you're from somewhere, you're from Sweden, you're from the United States, and if you had your pick of all the teams on the planet, what are the reasons why you go to play with somewhere? It's either A, because they're a really good team and they might win a Stanley Cup, or B, well, you know what? I really enjoy that kind of a city. Maybe they'd choose Edmonton, but chances are they wouldn't.
Yeah.
If I'm from New York City, I'm playing in New York City. If I'm from LA, I'm sticking to LA. I'm just generalizing, you know? Anyway, but Jesse Puljujärvi is not there yet. Surely he has to recognize, here's my situation. What are the chances I'm going to get my way? I don't think you're going to get your way here right now. He's only 21.
Yeah.
It's pretty early. And I do not blame Ken Holland at all for what? What's he going to do? Just give him away? 7th round pick?
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody would take a flyer on that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody would. For like a 7th, 5th, 5th, I don't even know what the ask would be. I don't know. I think there's something more to it than just the coaching. It could be the room. It could be the mix of players that aren't jiving with Jesse Puljujärvi. But, you know, at some point in time, the player's got to realize he's got to adjust himself.
Well, that's the thing. You can only lead him so far. And I know the Oilers were criticized for not putting him in English classes. I think they were criticized for not helping him assimilate a little better to the North American lifestyle. But at some point, you're right, the player has to take some responsibility in that. You know, this is a 19, 20-year-old kid. And we've all been there. We've all had to find our way when you're 17, 18, 19 years old. So I think they tried to help him. They brought in, they didn't want him having the only Finn in the room. So I know they brought in another one. And so there was some comfort level there. But I feel bad for Ken Holland because this isn't his mess. He didn't create this. He didn't select Jesse Puljujärvi. He wasn't there. Now he's got to clean up this mess. And Ken Holland's an old school guy who doesn't like to get bullied. He doesn't like to get forced into situations. He's going to dig his heels in. And right now he's not going to get, you're right, he's not going to get anything of value for Jesse Puljujärvi. You're not going to get the return that you spent a fourth overall pick on this guy. You're not going to get a first round pick back. You may not even get a second or third round pick back for this guy. So you're almost going to have to wash your hands and say, okay, we made a mistake selecting him and let that asset walk out the door. Now, can Jesse Puljujärvi be an effective NHL player? That remains to be seen. If he's given another opportunity somewhere, if he's given a chance to play, if he assimilates himself to the culture, because I think that's probably one of the biggest problems is that Puljujärvi had struggled with the language, struggled learning English. He struggled with the way things were done here in North America. I think one of the most telling stories was the last day of the season when everyone was packing up and going home. He basically grabbed his bags and his stick and he walked out of the rink and he started walking home and somebody just picked him up and gave him a ride. I don't know if you remember that story. I'm thinking to myself, well, that's an interesting story. Some fan sees Jesse Puljujärvi with his bag and his sticks walking home and decides to give him a ride. That's a nice story. But then I'm thinking, there's 25 guys in that dressing room. You think one of them would have said, hey, Jesse, do you need a ride home? Like, not one of them offered him a ride home. The trainer, the coach, nobody. He's like, he's walking home from Rogers Place with his bag and his sticks. And I just thought that was very telling. It's really weird when to me,
unless he likes walking home,
unless well, then he wouldn't have accepted a ride. But
unless he wants the Instagram play, because someone's going to see him. Hey, look at that.
Yeah, maybe. So it was kind of interesting to me and. I think they tried to bring him in the dressing room. They tried asking him out. But again, he just never fit in with this group. Now, did he not fit in because he's just a kind of a solitary loner type guy? Or did he not fit in because he wasn't likable? I don't think he's not likable. I do think he's a very shy guy and kind of sticks to himself, which is the issue. But the problem the coaching staff has is that they would tell him something over and over and over and over again, and he wouldn't get it. And I've seen players like this where you say, okay, in this situation, you got to go to this spot defensively. In this situation, you got to go to this spot defensively. In this situation, and they can't distinguish the situations. So they always go to the same spot. And I think that is one of the issues right now with Jesse Puljujärvi. He never played in a structured system growing up. I'm pretty sure that they just said, Jesse, just take the puck and go to the net and just be bigger and stronger and better than everyone else. And now when you're trying to get him into a structured system, he just doesn't get it. So I think it's going to be interesting to see if a team says, oh, we think we can get something out of him. But I'm sure right now teams are coming to the Oilers and said, hey, we got a fifth round pick. Do you want it for Jesse or the sixth round pick? Do you want it for Jesse? And of course, Ken Holland's going to dig in and say, no, I want the value that we spent on this guy. I don't think they're going to get it. And even if he does come back, you're right. Is Dave Tippett going to be the third really, really good coach is going to be frustrated by Jesse Puljujärvi? I don't know. I don't know if anything changes, to be honest.
Yeah. No. And Ken Holland has come out and said, okay, well, go and prove yourself in Europe and get a KHL contract and show us what you can do. And then maybe there's more of a trade value for him. Because if he's still insistent on not coming back to Edmonton, well, what else are you going to do? You could give him away. Or you could just wait and see.
Yeah. No,
it's hold on to his rights. Why not?
But I think this does go back to the draft, the 2016 draft, and the Oilers did not do. Then my number one knock on this organization, and it always been, is that they don't do their due diligence, is that they think they're smarter than everyone else. And that every time they think they're smarter than everyone else, it backfires on them because they don't do their due diligence. They did not do their due diligence on this selection. They had interviewed other guys. They had interviewed guys around them. And you look at the guys that they passed up, they could have had Matthew Tkachuk. Like they could have had...
Well, they were going to take Sergachev. Yeah, that was the rumor.
Yeah, they were going to take Sergachev, but they could have had a list full of other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they took the guy that they didn't interview. They didn't talk to because they didn't think he would be available. They didn't think, oh, there's no way he's going to be available. And then when he's passed up by Columbus, I don't know how that didn't register with any. That was my first thought, is when the Columbus, the Finnish GM and the Finnish head scout decide to pass on the Finnish star player. To me, that's like, there's something wrong there. There's something you guys got to look into. They didn't bother looking into it. And then they have a history.
Of course, they didn't have a lot of time to look into it. They didn't have a lot of time. But they should have probably given some pause instead of running up to the stage.
Yeah, they should have. They should have talked about it amongst themselves. And then the Oilers have a terrible history of developing players because they either rush them or they just don't do a good enough job in the system. I know Ken Holland's going to come in here and try to change that. But in the way he does it is he wants to keep players down in the American Hockey League as long as possible, then bring them up. And so he would have handled Puljujärvi a lot different than the Oilers handled him. Puljujärvi would have probably played 3 years in the American Hockey League. And then they would have seen where he was, and then they probably would have brought him up. Now, Ken Holland doesn't have that luxury of developing a lot of players right now because he's stepping into a situation where he has to win right away because he's got the best player in the world. He doesn't have time to develop players to play with Connor McDavid. He's got to bring in guys to play with him right now. So he doesn't have that luxury. And my fear when it comes to Ken Holland and the way they hired him was the exact same way they hired Chiarelli. They said, we're going to go out there. We're going to overturn everything. We're going to do diligence. We're going to interview all these people. And then the minute Holland came available, they offered him the job. That's exactly what happened with Peter Chiarelli. That's the exact same mistake they made with Peter Chiarelli. And so my fear is that I'm hoping they're not making the same mistake with Ken Holland. Ken Holland's a great hockey guy.
Yeah.
But they didn't do their due diligence. They offered him the job after talking to all these other people the exact same way they did with Peter Chiarelli.
Yeah. I mean, the Chiarelli, you know, hiring was a bit different. I mean, they won the lottery and then like 3 or 4 days later, boom, Peter Chiarelli's the GM. Mm-hmm. You know, how much interviewing or scouting around did you do? I don't know. Yeah. Probably not that much.
No.
I mean, with the Ken Holland thing, I mean, they did have time and...
Oh, they did. They talked to other people, but I think when Holland became available, even in Holland's press conference, he had to be convinced to take this job. He didn't come searching for the job. They went to him and said, hey, what do you think about becoming the Oilers GM? And then, so to me, I think...
You have to give them some benefit of the doubt. I guess we've been giving them the benefit of the doubt for a very long time now.
Yeah.
If the likes of Mike Gillis isn't knocking your socks off and you're not really convinced you should hire him or Ron Hextall or somebody else who was a veteran GM, because they needed to hire somebody who had experience.
Yeah.
This market wasn't going to take a rookie GM.
Well, Holland's a very smart hockey guy. He's coming in here and he's got to clean up a mess. And I think right now, this is just a product of the previous regime. They screwed this up. Ken Holland has to clean it up. Just like the Lucic thing. It's funny how we measure general managers now, not on what they do and who they bring in, but on the really crappy contracts they're able to unload. Like it's
oh,
really
how times have changed.
How low the bar has dropped now.
Another reason to get rid of the salary cap.
He's a great GM. He got rid of a really bad contract. He convinced another guy to take their bad player and we took back their bad player. It's kind of interesting. So with this pool of everything, it's got to be solved, I think, by the time training camp rolls around. I think you can't have this hanging over your head. And the fact is that Puljujärvi's rights in the KHL are not owned by the Finnish team. They're not owned by Joker. They're owned by a team in Russia. So unless they get a trade in the KHL, unless the Finnish team says, yeah, okay, we'll trade for Jesse Puljujärvi, he's not going to play in Finland next year. He's going to be playing in Russia in the KHL or here in Edmonton.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. You know, since we've seen this movie before with Neil Yakupov, the fear is always that, you know, Jesse Puljujärvi at some point in time will move on. Would he ever join another NHL team? Probably. And would he ever get a chance to show what he can do? Just like with Neil Yakupov, clearly, you know, Neil Yakupov moved on, didn't catch on, didn't do anything with the Blues or the Avalanche when given the opportunities. And was it because the Oilers wrecked him? Or was it because that's just the way it was supposed to play out? I guess we're just going to wait and find out, because we haven't seen it yet consistently from Jesse Puljujärvi. Flashes of, wow, look at that guy. But it's not consistent.
Yeah.
And that's just it. And you're with Ken Hitchcock and Todd McClellan.
Yeah.
And Connor McDavid's on the team.
No, you're right. If he wasn't going to get it done then, and I said the same thing about Yakupov. Yakupov, all the skill in the world, but he had no idea where to go on the ice. And Puljujärvi is the same way. You watch Puljujärvi from the press box. And when the team doesn't have the puck, he is not sure where he's supposed to be. When he has the puck and he's going up the ice, yeah, he's got pretty good offensive instincts. But when his team doesn't have the puck, or when he doesn't have the puck, he is completely lost. Completely lost. And you see it on the ice. You see it on the ice. He's like, and I remember commenting more than once, Pugliara has no idea where to go. And he wants to play. He wants to be an NHL player. He tries really hard, but it just doesn't get it. And I think that was the same thing with Neil Yakupov. He just doesn't get it. And so I think that's one of the issues right now with this player. This player, it's not about skill and talents and skating ability. It's about just processing the game at a high, high level, and he doesn't do that.
Like what you heard today? Get more of the Edmonton Journal's and the Edmonton Sun's award-winning journalism complimentary for 30 days at edmontonjournal.com/podcast or edmontonsun.com/podcast, or both. Why not? That's the Oil Spills podcast for today. Subscribe to Oil Spills on iTunes and Google Play. You can also listen to it via the Edmonton Journal and Edmonton Sun apps and websites.